Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer. According to a new report by the Center for an Urban Future, New York City's immigrant population is rapidly aging, and the city hasn't done enough to make sure older immigrants are financially secure and comfortable in their old age. Here to talk about the changing demographics of the city's senior citizens is Jonathan Bowles. He's the director of the Center for an Urban Future. Hi, Jonathan. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, great to be here.
So this study found that immigrants are making up a bigger and bigger proportion of older people in New York City. In fact, the city has the largest number of foreign-born senior citizens of any city in the country. Is this a consequence of just the general broad aging population shifts in our demographics, or is this specific to older New Yorkers moving here?
Yeah, I think it's a lot to do with immigrants that moved here in the 1980s and 1990s when there was such an incredible influx of immigration to New York. They're getting older. You know, these immigrants didn't come when they were 5 years old, 10 years old for the most part. They came as just young adults, and they're getting older now, and I think New York has to plan and adjust for this. You know, New York overall is really aging, and this is the demographic boom that I think very few people are talking about, but right now, people over the age of 65 make up around 12% of New York's population, and in another 20 years, it's expected to make up about 15% of the population. So overall, New York, like a lot of other cities in the U.S., is just aging. But what's really interesting is that a significant share and a growing share of this older population are immigrants.
Listeners, we want to hear your stories. Are you a senior citizen who's also an immigrant? Are you taking care of an older immigrant in the city? What are the challenges you're facing with housing or medical care? Do you live with an older immigrant? And what challenges does your family face? Call us at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. So, Jonathan, you say that the city's not doing enough, but what kinds of things can cities do to help older immigrants as they age?
Well, I think, first of all, we've got to get a handle on this situation. This is not a small trend. We've got almost 500,000, almost half a million older immigrants, not just old people, but older immigrants in New York City. The exact number is 430,000. So 46% of all of the older adults in New York City are now immigrants.
And wow. So half a million, and you said 46% of older New Yorkers. Those are enormous numbers.
I don't think most people are really aware of this. And I think that, look, we've got to get smarter about the aging of the population in general. I mean, this has implications for so many things in New York, from housing and transportation to health care. And so older adults in general are really struggling. They, you know, many of them are poor. Many of them have limited retirement savings. And we've got to figure out how to deliver these services to them. We don't have a lot of assisted living facilities in New York, for instance, like they do in other places. And so we've got to help people age in place. We've got to help to make sure people get around. But I think that what this report shows is that a lot of immigrants face unique problems that sometimes go beyond those that other older adults already face. So, for instance, a much larger share of older immigrants are poor. In fact, 24% of all older immigrants in New York City are below the poverty line, compared to about 16% of all seniors overall. Immigrants are also much less likely to receive retirement savings and a lot of other basic government benefits like Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps. They're less likely to take advantage of.
When you talk about federal benefits, you know, the report notes that older immigrants receive fewer federal benefits. Is that because they don't qualify because of their immigration status, or because the system has not been designed to accommodate them?
It's a few things. I mean, one is that, so for instance, Social Security immigrants just haven't worked as much as non-immigrant New Yorkers. Maybe because they came here later, they haven't been in the workforce, and thus they're not contributing to the Social Security system. Mm-hmm. And so when they retire, they have a lot less that's coming to them through Social Security. But for a lot of other things, it's a mixture of language barriers. 60% of older immigrants in New York City don't speak English very well. Huge numbers, much higher percentage than the overall immigrant population in New York. For some ethnicities, we found even larger percentages. So 94% of older Koreans, 92% of older Chinese, 91% of older Russians speak English less than very well. And so this is a barrier. It makes it harder for them to understand and to know what services are available, what benefits are available, and how to get them. There's other cultural barriers as well. Some immigrants come in and you know, from whatever country they came from, they may have a real distrust or intimidation about government and just not feel comfortable applying for certain benefits.
We're getting some calls. I want to bring in Vanessa in Brooklyn. Vanessa, your mother is an immigrant?
Yes, my mother came here at a young age. Her whole family resided in New York. But my mother didn't want to raise kids here, so we grew up in D.C. And then as she retired and she became ill, she actually decided to come back to New York because she gets much more benefits here than she did in Northern Virginia. Her Social Security went up. She actually now gets food stamps. That's something that she would have to fight for in Virginia. And it's a little bit more of a cultural base for her here.
And you said, where did she immigrate from?
Panama.
From Panama. So a cultural base, what do you mean? There's more of a community of Panamanian senior citizens here?
Yes. Yes. Even though she's, you know, moved away, wanted to have a better life for us, she connects more with people that she grew up from, you know, back from Panama. So, and as she gets older, she's by herself, she wants to be able to go out to function, go out to events. So she is able to have that connection here in New York.
Does she go to, like, senior centers and that sort of thing? Does she use city services that are geared towards seniors?
Yes, she does go out, you know, and she goes to senior centers maybe like once or twice a month. She still feels like she's young at heart, so she's trying to fight it.
Uh-huh.
But also she has recently become visually impaired. So that's also another, factor. So she's going to those centers, like the Helen Keller Center in the city to help her. And AccessoRide is such a great program for her. If I can't take her, none of my siblings can, she just calls them and they're able to pick her up, something that she couldn't get anywhere else.
And Vanessa, one more question. Is your mother still living at home?
Well, yes. She sold her house and she has a new place here in Brooklyn.
And she's living alone?
No, I actually I stay with her about 2-3 nights a week.
Okay. Thanks so much for your call, Vanessa.
Not a problem. Thank you.
And let's see. We got another caller. See, Ed in White Plains?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
My call is really a comment, and I'd like to have your guest's view on it. But from what I understand, there are a lot of elderly people coming to the U.S. They're sponsored by kids who have a green card or have citizenship. And the reason why they come to New York is because our Medicaid laws here are very, very lax. Once you're sponsored and you can come here, you're immediately eligible to obtain Medicaid, while in other states there's a waiting period, perhaps 5 years or something. And I'm just wondering if that is contributing to New York being a magnet for elderly people from other countries. In fact, I've seen this in two or three cases that I've actually witnessed of friends of mine, where they brought their parents here, and their parents immediately got on Medicaid. I mean, literally within a month or two after they arrived.
All right.
From another country.
Well, thanks for your call, Ed. So, Jonathan Bowles, we heard there from Ed and from Vanessa about the idea that New York City was actually a place people might want to come to age because of benefits that they're eligible for here. Did you come across that as you were looking into this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that New York has a lot of advantages for serving older adults in general, but also for a lot of immigrant communities. I mean, first of all, the transportation system allows people to get around fairly easily here. We do have a pretty good safety net here. We have probably the strongest city agency in the country that supports the aging population. We have something called the Department for the Aging. But within that, I do want to point out, especially for Ed, the second caller, that our data shows that fairly small percentage of all of the older immigrants in New York come as older adults. Most of the immigrants that are older today are folks that came here, you know, in the 1980s, in the 1990s, and have aged here in New York City. They've contributed to New York City quite substantially, and now they're older. They're retiring. They're over the age of 65. It's a much smaller percentage that are coming here specifically to take advantage of those benefits. So clearly that is happening, and clearly, you know, New York is one of the more generous states out there, but there's a lot that immigrants, immigrant elderly, are not taking advantage of. Again, we heard countless story after story, and the data really does corroborate that in so many areas, including Medicare, Medicaid, that older immigrants, many of them, are not taking advantage of these programs at the same rate as non-immigrant seniors.
And one more story, I want to bring in Sukhmani in Forest Hills. Your in-laws are aging?
Yes, hi. I have a few in-laws actually here in the city, and by that I mean sister-in-laws and brother-in-laws as well. But my parents-in-law have been living in the country for about 30 years, and, you know, same thing. They worked here, they contributed to the economy, and now that they're a lot older, one of the things that really kind of worries me is food habits, you know, because when you immigrate from different countries, you bring a part of your cultural lineage is the food that you eat. And my father is a doctor, but my father-in-law is, he runs a garage shop. And what frightens me is sort of the medical advice that a lot of my in-laws keep getting from doctors, which is, you know, stay away from saturated fats, only go for polyunsaturated fats. And we know the horrible genetically modified food that has kind of seeped into everything over here. And for us, one of the biggest challenges, especially for me as an informed person, is trying to get my family to wrap their minds around coming back to the older, you know, to our real cultural heritage and eating foods like real butter as opposed to margarine, which the doctor will say is okay, it's healthy for you, you know?
And where did your in-laws immigrate from?
We come from India.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call. Jonathan, I want to ask you about that. I mean, she was speaking there about culturally sensitive medical care, but I just wonder, caregiving in general, is it a challenge for someone who has an aging parent who doesn't speak English to find a caregiver to, you know, if they need in-home care? Or are there markets popping up in different parts of the city to serve different parts of the population?
Well, there are a lot of things popping up, and we've got some great service organizations in every borough that are offering culturally competent services. But it is a challenge. I mean, as the older adult population in New York not only expands greatly, but becomes much more diverse, it's a challenge for some of the great organizations that we have out there, those organizations running senior centers or other service providers, to be able to offer those culturally competent services. One of the more interesting quotes that we have in our report is from someone saying that, you know, some of these newer old immigrants in New York don't necessarily want Franks and beans. You know, they don't want the same old foods that, you know, that senior centers have been dishing up for years now. And you have to start thinking about how are you going to serve this population? And we also heard that, you know, some people are traveling an hour and a half, 2 hours on the subway to get to a senior center that's offering the kind of services that cater to them, whether it's food or people that speak their language. And so I think that's one of the things that the city needs to do going forward. We've got to make sure that some of the immigrant-based organizations that really do have the trust and credibility in older immigrant communities get some more of the contracts to be able to serve their communities. We've got to help the small organizations scale up. We've got to make sure there are more partnerships between the really good existing organizations and these newer immigrant communities so we can make sure the services are delivered culturally competent way.
And one final question quickly. Communities across the country are dealing with aging populations. Are there cities that New York City could learn from that have done this particularly well?
You know, New York is actually the place that we kept hearing about is such a model here. I mean, one thing that I have to give credit, the Bloomberg administration put together something called Age-Friendly NYC, and they got every agency to really kind of help start to plan for the aging of the population. And so that's a really good start, but there was very little in that task force and in that report about the kind of more diverse immigrant older community we have now in New York. And so it's hard to think of a city out there that's really a great model right now. I think that a lot of cities are experiencing the same issues as New York, and we've all got to kind of learn together on this. I think also we really need to see the federal government step into this more. The Older Americans Act, the nation's primary source of funding for senior services, has declined by 16% over the last 5 or 10 years, and you know, this is not just a New York issue. You know, cities around the country are aging. Cities around the country are seeing growth in older immigrants. And, you know, the nation, not just cities, have to really help support this.
All right, Jonathan Bowles, thank you so much for joining us. We got a lot of good calls. We don't have time to go with you, but call in again. Jonathan Bowles is the director of Center for an Urban Future. Thanks so much for joining us on WNYC.
Thank you.
After the break, we're going to go to the park and talk about your memories of Prospect Park and a new book. Call us, 212-433-9692. What's a moment in Prospect Park that you just will never forget? 212-433-WNYC. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer.